Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Pastor Tom, thank you for the encouragement today through God's Word. I'm just encouraging moms, the church family, and the body of Christ and all that we do in honoring the Lord. Let's open up our Bibles to chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter 3, as we look at part 2, as we continue with part 2 of a series of messages that we have entitled The Goal of Life. As you're finding your place there, Philippians chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 14 through 11 today. Basically, in this chapter, what the Apostle Paul is saying is knowing Christ Jesus as Lord, seeking to grow in your knowing of Him, and maturing in your Christ-like character as you live out your life waiting for the Lord's return is the goal. I'm going to say it again. I know you're finding your place and that kind of thing, and getting your outlines out, getting ready to take some notes, looking at Philippians chapter 3, verse 3 through 11. But basically, as we're looking at this chapter, the Apostle Paul is saying, knowing Christ Jesus as Lord, seeking to grow in your knowing of Him and maturing in your Christ-like character as you live your life out, waiting for the Lord's return is the goal. And he said, all believers press on toward that goal. And that's what we begin digging into. We began last week, but that's the life of the believer, the goal of the believer in the midst of everything that we got going on, marriages, children, all that we got going on. God is at work in our life, in our relational aspect of knowing Christ. And then Christ is at work in our life and us becoming more like Him. That's in one day He'll return and we'll be like Him just as we see Him as He is. And that's really what the Apostle Paul is talking about. The believers never perfectly arrive here on this earth. But one day, as John says in 1 John 3, one day when we see Him, the Lord, as He is, face to face meeting, we'll be just like Him in our in all of our characters. So Christians press on toward that goal. That's the goal of the life of God's children. Last week we started by looking at chapter 3 with identifying some distinguishing qualities of a true believer. When you think about your life being about this, when you think about it being about growing in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you think about it becoming growing and you're being conformed to the image of Him and all your character, you must address the genuineness of your salvation, right? And that's all over in the New Testament. It's there for us to address the genuineness of our salvation, that we have this life that God has to give us in our salvation. It can't be the goal to reach for unless you're saved, and if you're not saved, you won't reach for that goal, is really what the idea is. And as we looked at last week, what we saw was some of the distinguishing qualities of a true believer. True believers, where they rejoice in the Lord, when push comes to shove in all this life, you find your joy in that He is Lord and in your relationship with Him. That's the joy of the Lord. That's what true believers, the quality of them. True believers exercise discernment. I'm just reviewing last week. The Holy Spirit resides in you and is seeking to clarify to you God's truth. You've been circumcised in the heart. You've been born again, made new, made complete, given new life. That new life desires and seeks to live God's truth. And so you exercise discernment on what that is. The Holy Spirit is doing that in your life. True believers worship in the Spirit of God, are led by the Holy Spirit to give all honor and love toward God in all that they do. And also, we glory, we boast in Christ alone. We understand that it is through saving faith in Christ, the new life in Christ, union with Christ, that all that we do is Christ in us bringing about what He's wanting to do in our life. We can't do anything without Him. But we looked at all of that, and finally, we put no confidence in the flesh. True believers don't put any confidence in their flesh. And that's a review from last week. True believers are learning that their old self, their old life, their flesh, their self-seeking serving of gratification had no part in their salvation and has no part in their sanctification. And those were the distinguishing qualities of a true believer in Christ. Now as we move on in the text, looking at what the Apostle Paul says in verses 4 through 11, he continues to teach us. These verses are an autobiographical passage of the Apostle Paul. It's his testimony, you guys. This is an incredible passage. As we look at this and think about this and listen to God's word and apply it to our life, this is an incredible passage. It introduces the most dramatical and compelling salvation testimony in the New Testament. It does. It's his testimony. Paul is talking about his salvation and his sanctification. The Apostle Paul. It also is one of the most significant statements of the doctrine of salvation and the pursuit of sanctification in Scripture. Let me say that again. It's one of the most significant statements of the doctrine of salvation and the pursuit of sanctification in Scripture. This is the truth of salvation. This happened in every believer's life. This is the transaction. This is the exchange. This is the new life. This happens in every believer's life, and this pursuit of sanctification is there in every believer's life. This passage is revealing the internal work of God in a truly repentant and believing sinner. That's what it's revealing. It's relating to what's going on in the mind of the Apostle Paul when he met the risen Christ in Acts 9. You remember when he met the risen Christ? He's just cruising along. He's persecuting the church, all that, and then knocked down. Christ said, he says, Lord, what are you doing? He's, why are you persecuting me, Paul? So when he met the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what was happening in the mind of Paul. This is what was happening in the life of Paul. It's a truly amazing passage, and it provides the Spirit's work in his heart in some significant, significant detail. So we're going to dig into all that today. You ready? We're going to dig into that, identify all of that. This is going to really encourage your heart and minister to you, and then help us with the life that God has for each and every one of us. So look at the passage with me in verses 4 through 11 as we begin by reading it this morning. God's Word says in verse 4 and following of chapter 3, although I myself, Paul speaking, might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. I'm circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, I've found blameless. Verse 7, but whatever these things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be in loss in the view of their surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It's incredible testimony. Now in verses 7 and 8, I want you to look at this again with me. Paul speaks of a salvation as a transaction or an exchange, doesn't he? He uses these business or accounting terms in these verses, and they form the heart of his testimony. Kudos in the Greek means gain and describes what is in the profit column. And I want you to look at me and think about it in that way. There's a profit column and a loss column. There's an exchange. There's a transaction. It's accounting terms. That's what I count this. This is profit. This is gain. This is liability. This is profit. I count this. I gain this. These are all these terms. And herzema means loss. Goes in the loss column, liability column. And Paul says, I have counted and I count. They're all accounting terms, okay? And I want you to listen to it that way. And as Paul talks about salvation, and as he talks about sanctification too, you becoming more like Christ, he's looking at life, and this is what happened by the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. He saw in his fallen nature, in his fallenness, in his humanity, in his flesh, he saw these things in life as a gain. These are the things in gain. These are the gains, and I would have some of these things in the loss column over here. But when he met Christ, he got saved, born again, made new, regenerated. God brought into him his new heart and mind. In his new life, he said, oh, those aren't gain. I put those over in the loss column, and now this is what really is gain. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in salvation, what God does in a believer. It transforms your life. You're not ever the same. You're not a human that says, oh, okay, this is beneficial now, not as beneficial. There's a transaction. There's an exchange. This is the power of God. This is what he does. Look at verse 7 and 8 again. Paul says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Before salvation, you can't count these things as loss, because in your heart and mind, they're only gain. I want you to grab that. In this world, in the lost world out there, they can't see these things that we see now as loss. They promote them only as gain. Anything according to self-gratification in the world is gain. According to a Christian, it's loss. And I want you to hear that and see that and recognize what he's saying in here. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be a loss in the view of their surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I'm suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so they may gain Christ. A transaction has taken place in the heart and mind and soul of the Apostle Paul and every believer. Jesus describes salvation as an exchange, as a transaction. We all know that. It's all over Scripture. In fact, an exchange for all the sinner is for all that Christ is. We all know Matthew 16, 24 through 26, don't we? Jesus explaining this, he said this to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And what will a man give exchange for his soul?" Those are the same terms, you guys. Those are the profit and loss terms. Those are the liability terms. Jesus is talking about an exchange, about losing something to gain something. Something you thought was gain goes now in the loss column. It's a liability now to put something else in the gain column. You lose your life of self-serving self to gain his life, a life serving God. You now deny self to follow Christ, his way of life. That's salvation's transaction. That's sanctification's transaction. That's salvation's transaction. That's sanctification's transaction. And it's by the power of God, the power of Christ, by the good news of the gospel being preached to you and the power of God piercing your heart with the truth that you surrender your life, you lose your life to gain his life. This is what we're talking about. In knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the goal for the believer in Christ. This is the goal of life. This is it. This is what he's wanting us to see and understand. You're giving up to gain. And everything you're giving up, you're having to learn to give it up because your old life thought it was all the gain. Anybody with me today? Anybody know what it looks like to deny yourself, take up the cross, follow Christ? Oh, no, I thought Jesus came so I can be gratified. I thought Jesus came so I could have this and that and this wonderful. I thought that's what salvation was. It's not that, is it? It's a transaction. It's an exchange. It's the old life. It's gone. The new life has come. It's all through Scripture. It's everywhere. Paul's just given his testimony. In the Apostle Paul's testimony, he describes what you're giving up in verses 4 through 7 and what you are now putting in the loss column. Paul calls it confidence in the flesh. You could say trust in the old self. You could say confidence in my self-serving self. You can put trust in my flesh, right? Trust in the old self that Jesus says that you're to deny now. Paul's testimony is you put that in the loss column, confidence in the flesh, for it's now a liability. I want you to think about that for a moment. Confidence in your flesh. What your humanity, what your old self is telling you, what the world is telling you, right? The world is being led by the prince of the power of the air, and he speaks to the father of lies, speaks to all of them. They walk according to the flesh, not according to the spirit. You now have that old self. You now have that dead self. You have that self that you have to deny. It's the flesh, Romans 7. We could go through it all, but we're putting no trust, no confidence in what it wants, what it thinks, where it's going, what it wants to do. It doesn't want to follow the Lord. Again, this is the goal of life for us to learn there. I want you to look at verse 3 as we pick this up. Verse 3 of Philippians 3, as we're picking up what the Apostle Paul says here. In verses 4 through 7, he's talking about what we're giving up. Verse 3, Paul says, "For we are to the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh." We are the true believers. We put no confidence in our flesh. We put no trust in our flesh. Look at verse 4 through 7 now. He says, "Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has in mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. Man, I got it all going on in the flesh. I am the greatest example of what it looks like to walk according to the flesh. I am a wonderful fleshly person. Anybody ever tell you that? I used to say this before I got saved. I was a good sinner. Right? This is Paul saying, I was the best sinner. I was a confidence in the flesh. I was all these wonderful things. I was educated and smart and traditional and ritualistic and all the kinds of things that you can put your confidence in. But he said this, but whatever things were gained to me, verse 7, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Do you see what he's saying? Now you see, he says, I put all that confidence in my flesh in the loss column now. It's my unsaved old life. I thought they were gain at one point. Now they're a liability for the sake of Christ. You catching what I'm saying here? What he's talking about? What the Word of God is sharing with us? He's speaking into our lives and in this life that you're living, and that you looking at this life and in your salvation, that you learning and understanding what God has done in your life and what he's made it about, that you're going to have to recognize in your own life, you're going to have to count. I'm going to count. I'm going to do some counting. I'm going to count in this life. I'm going to recognize, Lord, the Holy Spirit's going to lead my life. God's my union in Christ is going to guide my life. I'm going to seek after these things. God's going to have to start teaching me to count these things of the flesh, now just liabilities. That's the Christian life. And if you think there was anything of your flesh, anything of your righteousness, anything of your goodness, anything of your choosing, anything of you, any part of you that brought you to salvation, then you haven't recognized that all of that's a liability. Because you weren't good enough, you didn't do enough works, you weren't nice enough, you weren't kind enough to be saved. It was God and God alone, and you recognize what's going on. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Remember Romans 8 last week? To live by the leading of the flesh, the mindset on the flesh, is death and no life. It's hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to God's way of life, cannot please God. It's a liability now to live for or be directed by the self, living for self. That's the flesh. It goes in the lost column. Paul wrote in chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Listen to what he wrote to Galatians, speaking to the Galatian church. And I just want to find out one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, come into your life, born again, made new life? That's what he's talking about. By the works of the law, did you do something, keeping some sort of rule, tradition, or by hearing with faith? Did you hear the truth of Christ? Did you meet Christ? Did you understand? Did that transform your life? I want to know that. For verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Listen, sanctification doesn't happen by our flesh. It doesn't happen by us wanting whatever self-serving thing that we go after that is. We don't change or grow. We don't get saved by any of those things. Paul wrote in Romans 10, verses 1 through 4. Listen to what he wrote. He's writing to his fellow Jewish people, or talking about them, and he writes, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them, these fellow Jewish people, is for their salvation, for I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to with knowledge, for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. Listen, your flesh, my flesh, a fallen person, think that they can establish a righteousness of their own before God. Don't put confidence in that, because you can't. No one ever has. No one ever will. We think we're going to establish that we're righteous before God by the way we live. I'm righteous before God because it was imputed to me, credited to me, Christ's righteousness. Now I'm following him, and I'm living for him, but I'm still not righteous. Righteousness is sinless. It has no sin. I'm not going to put confidence in any of these things that Paul is talking about. That all ended by being saved. You now seek to live his righteousness, grow in that direction. It's never your own. You're just led by the Holy Spirit, following Christ's way of life, and God bears fruit of Christ-likeness in your life. I want you to capture that. I want all the young people to think here, and they've had Christianity in their life their whole entire life, and they're living that. You're not righteous. Christ is righteous. God came and gave you new life that you can live righteous. But don't look at your own self, and have a fleshly confidence in you that somehow you're righteous. It's only God's righteousness that you have. And we have to understand that and know that. This is what Paul is talking about, the testimony here that he's giving. Listen, following the flesh in any way, shape, or form is a liability now. That's his testimony. Thinking you're good, right? Thinking that you're going to get gratified is a liability. Look at your outline. Salvation and sanctification is not by these things. It's not by ritual. Look at verse 5, Philippians 3. Look at it. It's not by ritual. Circumcised on the eighth day. Salvation and sanctification is not a ritualistic thing. No one is saved or sanctified by getting baptized. You're just obeying what the Lord Jesus Christ said. If you believe, get baptized. But nobody is sanctified or saved by it. Paul was circumcised on the eighth day. He kept every ritual that was going on. That's all of the flesh. That's a liability to think that your rituals are going to save you or sanctify you. He says of the nation of Israel, sanctification or salvation is not by race. Doesn't matter what people group you belong to. Not at all. Of the tribe of Benjamin, salvation or sanctification is not by family status. It's not by family status. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. That was the best tribe to be a part of. That's the outstanding tribe. You can be from an outstanding Christian family. I'm glad you are. It's going to influence you. What Tom said, moms do that. But it has nothing to do with salvation or sanctification. God's word, God's truth, the Spirit of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you being obedient to God's word, and all that. God may use a Christian family. God may use your suffering from the consequences of sin in your sanctification. God may use them all, but they're not what salvation and sanctification is about. It's not about a family status. It's not about any of that. Paul thought it was. Paul says, I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. He kept every tradition, Hebrew of Hebrews. We could go through them all, but you guys don't want to go through there, do you? I want you to think about this in your family. I want you to think about this in your marriage. I want you to think about this in your church, in the body of your Christ. We don't get saved, and with sanctification, we don't become like Christ by rituals or race or family status or keeping all the traditions, the Hebrews of Hebrews. It's not by religion either. He says that's to the law of Pharisee. It's not by religious activity. In my religion, Paul says, I am the best of keeping all the rules. I'm the Pharisee of Pharisees. Salvation and sanctification isn't about that. It's about obedience to God's word. It's about obedience to Christ, following him. But it's not about a religion. It's not about that. Then he says what he says next. As to zeal, the persecutor of the church. Salvation, sanctification isn't about zeal. It's not about sincerity. He was wrong. Hey, I'm sincere. I sincerely am trying to do this, and it's not God's word to do that. It's not the truth of what it is. Salvation, sanctification isn't about sincerity. It's not about legalistic righteousness either. He said this, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. I always find that amazing. He said, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. Look at the word of God. Here's all the rules, and I found blameless. It's not by legalistic righteousness. No one is blameless. Look around the room. There's nobody keeping all the rules. The only one was Jesus. He's in us, but present, you know, in us, but he's not here. It's not about legalistic righteousness that salvation or sanctification happens. It's not about I'm going to keep every dull jot till legalistically. All are guilty before God. No one is righteous. In your salvation, you have been given the ability to live righteousness only as you follow Christ and deny yourself. But you still sin. No one's blameless. Look at verse 7 again. But whatever these things were gained to me, see, he used to think all those things were gained. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's gain to you for you to live any of those things that I talked about today? Before your salvation, you thought they were all gain. God was pleased with me. God was happy with me. I'm good. I'm better than others. All those kind of things. I want you to think today. I want you to think about what we're talking about today. It's looking at our life and recognizing in our life that everything over here now in the loss column, everything about the flesh is now a liability. And everything about knowing the Lord is the gain. The flesh wants life the way it wants it on the earth. The flesh wants this to happen on the earth. The flesh wants now godly people, God, in our heart and mind, but we desire God to work and transform hearts and to encourage people and give us blessings. But guess what? None of those have to happen in our relationship with the Lord. Are you staying with me today? This is the goal of life. This is hard. Because this is an exchange. This is a transaction that takes place. Paul said, whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as lost for the sake of Christ. So salvation or sanctification is not by ritual, it's not by race, it's not by family status, it's not by traditions, it's not by religion, it's not by sincerity, it's not by legalistic righteousness. What's it by? What's it by? Turn your outline over. What's salvation by? What's sanctification by? Look at what the Apostle Paul wrote. It's by relationship, isn't it? Would you guys agree? It's by relationship. You give up all that up, you put it in a loss column to gain what? Look at your outline, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord. That's a relationship. It's not knowing about him. It's not intellectually acknowledging somebody lived that long ago and the Bible says that he lived a sinless life and he died on the cross and we're raised again. It's about confessing with your heart, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Christ is Lord and God raised him from the dead. For all that he is and says that he is true and real, and I met him. It's a relationship. It always has been. It's never been an external thing. It's always been a relationship. So you give up to gain. Here's what you gain. You gain the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so I may gain Christ. I found and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That's the gain. When he says more than that, at the beginning of it, more than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. He's including anything that he might do in the present or future in his mind or heart to earn God's favor or think you earn God's favor. That's a liability. I got to consider everything of that in my life. I got to consider all of it a loss in view of just knowing, intimately knowing in relationship the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about our lives now are not about establishing our own righteousness or about earning God's favor. Everything we do for that now is in the loss column. And the gain is us knowing and following the Christ Jesus, our Lord, and becoming more and more like him. That's the accounting that's been given. So I want you to see it in that way. Can you look up here for a second? So in this life, this new life that we have in Christ, what we looked at before salvation and then what we struggle to in life, over here what God is wanting us to count is everything according to flesh, everything of self, serving self, everything that is about what I get, what I gain, what I have, what, you know, anything that I live a certain way so I can have all these things, that's over here. I count it loss. And what I put over here is knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Knowing him intimately and becoming like him. That's life, you guys. It's hard. We got to deal with deny yourself, take up the cross, follow me. That's going to happen all the time in our life. But this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. This is the Word of God. This is what it is. It's hard because we have to deny our flesh. But it's rich because it's the life that God has given us. We see all fleshly efforts to gain favor with God, to gain earthly life, to gain those kind of things as rubbish compared to the gain of knowing Christ Jesus intimately. 1 John 5:20, God's word says, we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What a transaction, huh? I don't know if we recognized it was that big of exchange. I don't know if we're still learning that it's that big of exchange. I mean, for the Apostle Paul, you know, in his walk with the Lord, it was a unique thing in a sense of the Lord teaching him. But each and every one of us, isn't that the journey in our life to recognizing just how much our life has changed when we came to saving faith in Christ and just how much it is different than it is of the world? Would you agree? And that what you know about the Lord now and your relationship with the Lord now, it's just, in a sense, a continued beginning of growing intimately in a relationship, knowing who he is, why he came, what he did, and what he's doing, and then your life becoming more and more like him in living in all attitude, action, and thought. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. That's what God's word is saying. And each one of us, as I wrote this down and I was going through this, I had a lot of things in here. Wow, I've kind of counted that as gain, and I had that. It got working in my heart and mind about how maybe I missed the mark or haven't been on. That goes in the life of every believer. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he wanted that church to know how hard he fought and struggled for the church to be complete in Christ. And he said in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 2, so that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, that's by the power of God, attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. That's true. That's true, and I'm still learning those things and working on those things in my life. You give up trust or confidence in the flesh, you put it in the loss column to gain an intimate knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ, to gain a continued growing relationship with him, to gain a life in him and life in union with him, to be like him in all your character. Jesus said it simply, you lose your life to gain his. That's what that's saying. That's what that means. That's truly salvation. That's truly the way God sanctifies our life. Salvation is that exchange. Sanctification is learning to follow him, seeking to become like him in the transaction of denying ourselves. Your old self, your flesh, your self-serving self is a liability now. How many times did I say that? I wrote it down in here. I wrote, hang on a second. I said, Ken, you said that a lot. I said it because we need to believe it. Let me say it one more time. Your self-serving self is a liability to your new life in Christ and never will not be a liability. God is waiting for you to count it in the loss column. For your relationship with the Lord and your walk with him and your growth with him and you becoming more like him. Because if you're still hanging on to that, your self-serving self, your flesh, is a gain, then you're looking for God to change the world, change life, so your flesh gains. God said, I didn't come down to save your flesh. I came down to separate you from it, give you new life. I'm going to leave it here on the earth, bring you with me, give you a new body. That one is corrupt. It wants to seek self. Important thing to recognize here. I think of all of the high schooler and college people here. Raise your hand if you're in high school or college here. One of the greatest things you can learn is that your flesh is a liability. Do you know the world tells you, young ladies, that in high school, that what it tells you that you are identified by the clothes you wear, the makeup you have, the pimples, or not pimples that you have, how your hair looks, what kind of swagger you have. Come on, ladies, am I right? That's got nothing to do with this life. That's what the prince of the power of the air is leading this world to think what life has about. No, I don't want your pimples all over your face. I don't want your hair to be all messed up. I'm not saying that, you guys. But don't put those things in the profit column. Put them in a liability, because all they're going to do, they're going to be liabilities. They're going to draw you away from living for the Lord. They're going to draw you away from choosing the right kind of guy. They're going to draw you away from what's valued in this life. They're going to draw you away from what God wants. How many adults in this room live that journey and could give a testimony if that's exactly what it does? And the teenagers won't believe us, because we're old and dumb. Let me tell you, God's word just said it's a liability. And he's got a whole lot more weight than I do. And I want you to hear it today, you guys. If you seek after those things in life, they're a liability. A liability means they're going to have a payment come due. They're going to cause harm or cost in your life. And nobody in the room wants that. But if you don't understand in your relationship with the Lord, in your walk with God, that those things are a liability, and you let the world identify them that they're not, nobody wants that in your life. The prophet column is him, isn't it? It's not hard to get beyond this. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. You know, you can get in the words, you can get in all that, but the liability columns fall in your flesh. The prophet column is him and him alone. That's what it is. Look at verse 9. And me be found in him. I said this in Sunday school. The Apostle Paul talked about in him 150 times. In the New Testament, he describes his life in him, in him, in him. In him, we have this. In him, we have that. In him. Our life is about being in him. He says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Galatians 2:20 would say it best, and it's a good passage to memorize, because this is the true life that we have. This is life's goal. This is what's going on in your salvation. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. For in him you gained his righteousness. That's what it says. You gained his. It was credited to you, imputed to you. Christ's righteousness by the God. That's what it says. It's not derived from keeping the works, keeping laws. It's derived by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes from God based on faith in him. And it's been imputed and credited to you. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. In that transaction, you now can seek to live righteousness. You could not before salvation at all. You were enslaved to sin and couldn't live righteousness. Now that you're saved, born again, made new in this new life, credited, imputed the righteousness of Christ, you can now seek to live righteously because you gained a life that is no longer enslaved to sin. It's all Romans 6, what we covered when we covered Romans 6. We studied that chapter. As he continues on, listen to what he says. Look at verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, be conformed to his death, that I may know him. That's Paul's point. I just want to know the Lord. I want to know him intimately. I've gained this life. We're in an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know him. I want to put all that in the prophet column of what life is about, a life that seeks to intimately know Jesus Christ as your Lord. That you can know him experientially. He says the power of his resurrection. Do you know what that means? The power that gave you new life in your mortal body to live for God, Romans 8:10 and 11. Let me ask you, you want to experience that in your life? Do you want to know that in your life, in your experience, in your relationship with the life? The power that God gave to your mortal life is the same power that quickened Jesus from the dead. That life that you, that new life you have, a new life that doesn't have to sin, that can change and be conformed, that can be a blessing to God, that can live righteously, that can seek to know the Lord, that can understand the things of God. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what Romans 8, 10, 11 says. Do you want to know that? Come on, church. Do you want to know that? Well, it's knowing him. It's in relationship with him. It's talking to him. It's talking to God. It's talking to the Lord. It's saying, my life's in union with you. I want to know you. I want to understand you. I want to know why you came, who you are, and what you did. There's a depth there that none of us can mine to the bottom. There's not like, oh, I know some things. No, it's a relational knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's real in my life. It's real in believers' life. It can grow in believers' life. It's lightly being happening in other believers' lives. Paul says that this is the goal of life, the prophet calling, to know the power of his resurrection in my life. Paul said in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, it's a power that works within us so that God can do more in our lives than we ask or think for his glory. Of you knowing the love of Christ beyond comprehension and you growing in the character or likeness of Jesus to God's glory. It's amazing that that power works within our lives. To live for Christ, we don't wield that power. None of us wield that power. We're just seeking to know and understand and experience, as Paul says in Ephesians 1:18, the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. It's the power of God in our lives to learn to be content, Philippians 4, 11 through 13 says. Anybody want to learn that power of his resurrection, to learn in this life to be content? It's in him. It's in relationship with him. To just be, have the strength of the Lord working in our life, that whatever happens in this life, we can be content. I want to learn that. How about you? It's not mystic. It's not trickle down from the above. It's in a relationship with the Lord, understanding who he is, why he came, what he did. It's a relational thing. A power of Christ that may dwell in us, as Colossians 2 Corinthians 12 says, to make us strong in all of our weaknesses, distresses, difficulties, and persecutions. Paul sought to know that power. He wants to know the fellowship of his suffering continuing on. He wants to know it. It's in the prophet column. That's kind of shocking, the fellowship of his suffering. I see it in the prophet column. Let me explain that to you just a little bit. The fellowship of his suffering, it's the deep, intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus in the hard things. It's the deep, intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus in the hard things. How many of you know the Lord more intimately because hard things have been in your life? I want you to look at it and say, that's a prophet. Because that's the column it belongs into. If God didn't let those things happen and only gratified your flesh the whole time, that would be a liability. Wow, Lord. I'm starting to see the reality of this thing here. I'm starting to see the truth. I'm going to count this and not that. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest, that's a risen Lord, who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things, yet without sin. We're capturing God's word, what it's saying here. The gain is intimately knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, why he came, what he did, and what he's doing. You gain his life, a life that he is in union with. That's what you gain. For you to become more like him, that's what you gain. That's the gain. That's the profit column. The flesh is a liability to all of that. You put it in the loss column. Your life of knowing him as Lord, growing in knowing him, having a righteousness imputed to you. You're set free from sin slavery. You now seek to live righteousness for him. You're experiencing his power at work in you in real fellowship through this life all the way to glory, right? Look at verse 11, all the way to glory. That's what he's talking about right here, verse 11. In order that I may attain the resurrection of the dead, let me help you with that. in order that is better translated if somehow. It's not like you do all of these and then it's in order that this would happen. No, it's a promise in your salvation that eternal glory awaits you. This is the humility of Paul being overwhelmed. He can't believe it. And most of the time, I can't either. I have to keep reading God's word. If somehow, one day, I will live with the Lord Jesus Christ, with him forever, and be just like him. If somehow, it's humility. We all understand that it's promised in Scripture many times over that all true believers will attain their new bodies in the resurrection and be completely conformed to the image of Christ. As Paul wrote in Colossians 3, 2 and 3, for you have died, meaning yourself and sin. You have died to serving self and sin. And your life now is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Paul is saying in Philippians 3, 11, that the gain is so great, it's so overwhelming, it's so unbelievable, that somehow I'll attain the sharing in my Lord's glory. Hey, it's true, you guys. It's not based upon how righteousness you live. It's not based upon how good you do. It's not based upon how many rituals you keep or how many religious activities or how many times you attend church or how many times you ask for forgiveness or confess. It's not based on that. It's based upon a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants you to have that with him. He wants you to embrace that. He wants to work in your life to conform you to the image of Christ. But the glory that awaits you isn't based on any of that. It's based on your relationship with him. It's based on him. And it's promised. One day, Paul says, I'll attain it. I'm going to press on. I'm going to push on. I'm going to go for it all. Yeah, one day we will. Is this helping you today? It surely helped me when I was going through this and just recognizing how many times do I do something in this life that I'm trying to get something from God, trying to get favor. I want to please God. I want to honor God. I want to love God. I want to do those things, but I don't want to do them. I want to do them because of who he is, not what I get. And that's what God is. That's the flesh. Did you get that? That's a liability in the believer's life. That's a liability. Because as soon as you don't get, then God's wrong. That's a liability. As we close, let me just say this. I want to say it real simple. What do you gain when you lose your life to gain his? You gain a life in union with Christ, a life of a growing, intimate knowing of him as your Lord. You gain his righteousness, credit to you, the power of Christ in yourself. The power of Christ in your sanctification. You gain a fellowship of Christ in your suffering. You gain the glory of Christ in your final glorification. That's the profit column for the believer, what you count as profit. What's in the loss column? Flesh, self-righteousness, pride, self-gratification, fleshly wisdom, the old life, what the prince of the power of the air is leading the world to live for. That's the exchange. And there's a chasm in between them they don't mix. That's the exchange. That's what God wants us to know the goal of life is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and for encouraging us through your word and just ministering to each one of our hearts. And we're all at different places with this. We all recognize that and know that. And you're speaking to each one of us in different areas of our life, wanting us to apply this. What are we to believe here about God and his truth? What action are we to take here? What is God wanting us to respond to do? What change do I need to embrace? What confession do I need to make, Lord? What repentance do I need to do and turn from something I've been embracing or living and turn a different way? For the truth of it is, we have a relationship with you. Maybe, and most of us, we're seeing it more as a gain than we've made it. Not an advantage in this world, but what life is about. In the column of life, we would see knowing the Lord and living for Him and becoming like Him is the benefit. The liability is making it about us, making it about what we have or what we don't have. We thank You that You ministered to us today, and we'll continue to do so.